Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by another one, Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture. Look ahead to tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Friday Night SmackDown, but also the show formerly known as NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Collision, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete. A little bit of a quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Sid to look ahead to SmackDown tonight, the go-home SmackDown, the night before WrestleMania. Very exciting.
Which I am looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours of Paul Levesque produced television, not so much, but I'm not going to tank this preview. I understand that the listeners are, you know... Are we recording this as well?
Mm-hmm.
All right, just for the crack. Mm. Might as well. And the viewers, of course. Why would that be the camera there? Right. You like the dynamic between Wilborn and Hamflet, right? They're a bit like the stand-up for WWE guys, but there's two of them. Like two people in the same room existing of the same. That's weird.
Mm.
When's that ever happened, Stark? But ultimately, I'm going to put over something that's happened pertaining to WWE that did build my interest in a match at WrestleMania that I wasn't necessarily looking forward to. Basically, Hardway Blood just makes literally everything better. I could just be walking down the street on a rainy, windy day and I'm feeling a bit sad. If someone walked into a wall and just bust their nose, I'd be like, this is awesome. It just makes literally everything better. Like, LA Knight and AJ Styles, it feels like a Styles clash. Literally, mm-hmm. No pun intended. People who deal in wordplay are a complete arsehole. We all know this. But it didn't really excite me in any way whatsoever. They do a scrap at what the media call?
The WWE world thing, I think.
And, you know, it fits into the story of they hate each other so much that they can't wait to get their hands on one another. I'm looking forward to the collar and elbow tie up on the night itself. It is an AJ Styles at WrestleMania match. It's as basic and mediocre as it gets. But no, if they can just... I'd love how they took that energy into the match. So if you've missed it somehow, at this media event... As they've been doing on TV, they did just sort of come to blows very quickly.
On site,
called. And a nose was busted up in the melee. It looked halfway convincing by the standards of these sort of things. So I just wanted to put that over. And they have tried to experiment. And, you know, I hold my hands up. I accuse Triple H of being an incredibly basic A to B to C to D linear booker. He doesn't really do anything experimental or really exciting. And I would describe his booking philosophy as more an exercise in conditioning as much as anything else. Look how long this person has held the title. They must be really dominant. They must be really unstoppable. Their matches, therefore, must have really a lot of drama. If someone can win, how much would that mean to their career? It's a lot of conditioning and not necessarily the most exciting week to week. I feel like I've said this on every single WWE podcast we've done. But as much as I didn't like the execution of the Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch, MMA Hour angle, I did think it's a halfway decent idea to sort of open the doors out, give the illusion that these characters are somewhat real and have an interior life and they don't just turn up at 8 o'clock on a Monday and hate someone and then just go away.
Mm.
And this is a continuation of that trend. And I thought it was a much better execution. Again, the hard way blood helped. So I am excited. Basically, the best part of WWE storyline building will not take place on SmackDown tonight.
Yeah, you're probably right. They're probably going to be kept apart with, you know, leagues of security and what have you. But there's plenty of opportunity for shenanigans in the matches that we have got booked. What do you make of the allegiance of Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill and Naomi? Because that's one of the latest things they've added to this WrestleMania card. And it was obviously built on... It's been built for a long time, but it was sort of solidified on last week's SmackDown.
It's okay. I don't know if there's buyer's remorse with Jade Cargill, but they didn't really... Clearly, they didn't rate her immediately.
Mm, yeah.
Hence why the debut was delayed. They've done supplemental. Here's how we want you to do a training. I don't hate it. It seems a bit... It's one of those things, right, where it's written down on paper and you think, this is inessential. This feels like a almost cynical attempt to hide Jade Cargill's flaws and accentuate her positives. But that's a good fundamental way in which to book a professional wrestler like Jade Cargill. So I can't... like say it thrills me as this unmissable thing that I'm really excited for. There's an intelligence behind it.
Yeah.
And you look at that picture of the three of them all pointing at the sign, all three of them with this like just preposterously telegenic appeal between the attire, not to get too Jim Ross, but the bone structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these women look absolutely fantastic. And I want a super group. So realistically, again, you know, Papa H, he's done a job that you can't really deny here, and that they've, and that he has sort of made something of Jade Cargill. She just looks fantastic.
Yeah,
she just has that presence. And, you know, we've seen in AEW that I think she had some really underrated matches.
Mm.
Again, sometimes opponents of a similar, i.e. very minimal career experience. Like her two best singles matches were against, I would say, Red Velvet and Anna Jay.
Anna Jay, yeah.
I think she can put on a really good sub-10-minute match,
mm-hmm.
not just great at squashes. So, yeah, I don't understand why she was immediately pulled. I mean, when you look at the standard in WWE's women's division, Jade Cargill versus Red Velvet and Jade Cargill versus Anna Jay, that would probably be a top 10 Raw match of 2023 if you'd done it move for move. So the whole thing's been a bit weird, but the image of those three together and how eye-catching it is kind of undeniable.
Yeah, and it's a really fun way to get... So I think a lot of people were like, how are you going to get them on the card? Because you can maybe do a tag match for the tag titles with Damage Control. And they're just like, no, I just put all three of them in a trio. I was like, oh, it's great. Like you say, look at that.
Yeah.
It's an amazing lineup, and I've no doubt... I don't think it really needs any more build, obviously, but if you get to see Bianca Belair and Jade and Naomi doing more ridiculous feats of strength to build towards WrestleMania, I'm absolutely fine with that. One of the big things on tonight's show, Sid, is, of course, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Hasn't held quite the significance it arguably started off with at WrestleMania 30. Is that the first one? Yes, the Cesaro one. Now it's sort of been relegated to to the SmackDown before WrestleMania, but there's still some prestige there. It's a trophy. It's a trinket. It's got some great names associated with it.
Like who?
Jey Uso's won it previously. Cesaro.
I thought that him winning that match was incidental to his rise in popularity.
Disagree. But
why are you doing this?
But we've got a lot of names associated with it this year. I'll run you through the list, and then I'd love to know your thoughts as well. I've got a game for you as well.
You know, you can make the argument that thing died within 2 months.
Hmm? Oh, the Andre the Giant.
As soon as the Cesaro push was just nuked, you think, all right, okay, well,
yeah,
but it was a waste of the old time.
Can you remember any other the winners?
Strowman, Corbin, no, Mojo Rawley.
Mojo, yes.
Strowman, I think we've done this before.
Jay,
like, literally 3 weeks ago, and I've forgotten already.
Yeah.
Big Show.
Thank you.
Get him over the top.
Because that was the Sandow year. Matt Hardy, did he not win it 1 year?
Well,
with Bray Wyatt, I think it was.
Like, you're trying to contend that the match isn't useless.
So, entrance this year. Akira Tozawa, Andrade, who's in there to counteract Ricochet.
Yeah, great push, Paul.
Apollo Crews, Ashanti the Adonis, Bronson Reed, Brutus Creed.
Yeah.
Cameron Grimes, Cedric... Here we go.
I love how you are not able to do that anymore because the poor bastard is just never on television.
Yeah, he was there at Wale Mania last night and I got very excited and I thought, well, at least he's here for this week because they've just done nothing with him. It's ridiculous. Cameron Grimes, Cedric Alexander, Chad Gable, Elton Prince, Ivar, another favourite of ours.
JD, I love Ivar.
JD McDonough, a particular favourite of Michael Sidgwick's next. Julius Creed.
I thought... You were insinuating that J.D. McDonagh was a particular favourite of mine. And he is not, but now Julius Creed is fantastic.
Kit Wilson, The Return of Omos, Otis, Ricochet, Sanga, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Veer.
Who do I think should win?
Who do you think should Julius win Creed. Is going to win?
No, Julius Creed's not going to win. It's another one. Like I kind of understand why there's a little bit of hesitation with the Creeds. What I like about wrestling, or what they bring to pro wrestling, isn't necessarily... If I was legitimately in charge of the careers of, you know, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of my responsibility in a way. There's a rough around the edges vibe and quality to the Creeds that I happen to like personally enjoy like, enormously. But you'd probably be boring about it if you were Triple H, funnily. Enough. I really like Amos.
Yeah,
I just do. He appeals to. I mean, this inner child is quite unhappy. He's quite a morose boy. He sticks to himself in class. This inner child. He's an introvert. Does he like the same things he used to? He still loves that. Ridiculous giant in pro wrestling. That Silver Vision Coliseum video, the person who just unironically really enjoyed Undertaker versus Giant Gonzalez at WrestleMania 9. You've got to love it. Like, Omos rules. I'd like to see Omos win it. And who else is going to win it? What does it mean if they win it?
I think it's going to be, it's no surprise that they've tried to lead another story into this because otherwise, like you say, it is just a trinket that they win for 1 week and then it's forgotten about. It doesn't win.
I think it's worse than that. When you see the collage, right, on that match graphic for the SmackDown on WrestleMania SmackDown, I kiss my ears, and you see the collage, it's a visual signifier of who they don't quite care about as much as the people on the WrestleMania card. It's like their no push list written down in front of you. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah. Look at a lot of the names on there.
It's like you can say, "Oh, I've got to appear at WrestleMania." It must be a huge motivational tool. Like even on the pre-show, where yes, people are still filing in. No one's making a huge amount of noise for what used to be the pre-show matches. At least they could go and like tell the kids, "You know what? I did a WrestleMania." Or in front of a cold crowd, I helped really wake them up. I set the I did my job as a pro. It's on SmackDown.
I think Ricochet wins this. I think you could give it Chad Gable.
They've been keeping them quite strong on TV.
Yeah.
And as much as I'm, you know, a cynical prick at the best of times, that match with JD McDonagh was actually really, really crisp.
That. Yeah. I think, yeah, in terms of... you might get a slight appearance on WrestleMania if you win this, don't they? Had Bobby last year come out with a trophy, I think it was last year.
Oh, great.
But you look at the rest of the names, and I know Andrade's in there to counteract that, and I think that's probably just going to factor into another story with the Judgment Day lot of Dominic being like, you kind of failed us, you kind of let us down, you kind of promised. Maybe Andrade gets annoyed with JD McDonagh and gets him out of there, and then that's Ricochet's opportunity.
I think this match genuinely means nothing. I think it could be fun. There's some sort of thing to do here.
Omos and Ivar coming together and Bronson Reed, all the big lads colliding.
What about Omos gets struck in the back after he's just eliminated someone, and then JD McDonagh pushes that person out of the way, unaware that they've done that, and Omos looks, doesn't know who he's looking at, looks down, and JD's like, I didn't do that. I just want to see that puke get obliterated. So that would be a funny spot.
I think there could be a really fun spot as well because we know about the freak strength that Chad Gable has. We often see what Julius Creed can do with like picking several blokes up at the same time, some ridiculous move.
How many men do you think he's capable of eliminating at once?
Ooh, well, I wasn't going to book that. He could probably eliminate three at the same time,
yeah, of course
I'd say.
He could.
right? But what I was going to book was, let's say, Chad Gable, let's say Julius Creed, and let's go Ricochet, because he did that spot with Bronson Reed, I think it was, the other day.
Oh, you said freakishly strong.
No, guy. Ivar, because it was Bronson Reed and, yeah, and Sammy, of course. So I think you have them, and they each get one of, yeah, Bronson Reed, Omos, and Otis, or Ivar, or Veer, or Sanger, a big lad, to do a simultaneous, look at the three smaller lads doing it with the three bigger lads, yeah, yeah, suplex or whatever. Someone can get something out of eliminating Omos, for example. And I know it feels a little bit like a consolation prize, but Chad Gable's weekend does not end here, of course.
Well, I was just about to bring up Chad Gable and be nice to you. You are really into this sort of Chad Gable arc to an extent that you really, really like Chad Gable. You really wanted the Gunther match to happen. Mm. Obviously, it's not happening, but you are deeply invested in that character. Almost like him so much that you don't really want him to see turn heel. So you've got that emotional investment. Yeah. They could tell the story of Chad Gable. I'm talking myself into this match being quite good, right? Because there's a lot of large men in there that he could deadlift German.
Yes.
Deadlift German Amos. Deadlift German Ivar, Bronson Reed. And you're like, Jesus Christ, how awesome is this baby face? This crowd could come to their feet. It should be a loud one as well. You've got that international traveling fan. It's always loud around WrestleMania season. And the Philly fans generally are like really like, well, look at the sports franchises. They're a very passionate bunch. So the noise level could be huge if they book Gable to look as awesome. But then he gets dumped in the final two.
Ooh.
Or he gets dumped just before the final two. And he's like,
always the bridesmaid.
And he's like, mother, I have just deadlift four of the biggest lads on this entire roster.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that was for nothing. You're telling me that I have failed again. And that could be the final catalyst, I guess, for him throwing in the towel.
Oh,
saying, if I'm going to fail, some other one is going to do it as well.
Mm. I love that. Really like that. So are you going Ricochet to win?
No, like Amos.
Oh, you like Amos, sorry, yes. We will circle back to this in a little bit later because I've got
already
a game to play.
All right, okay, I was going to say, we've already talked about it.
Yeah, don't you worry. Jey Uso versus Solo Sikoa.
Two things can't happen at once, you know.
What's this?
I'm saying, like, you can't make me talk about that twice because two things can't happen at once. I mean, you can't see two people in the same room.
No, exactly, it'd be ridiculous.
Well, yeah, I mean, it just doesn't happen.
No.
The same people in the same room twice, no.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/whatculture. Jey Uso versus Solo Sikoa.
Yeah.
I sense we don't get a result in this match.
I sense we don't get a good match.
I sense a great deal of shenanigans, but maybe you. If, I feel like you have to have Cody Rhodes on this show, don't you? Because he's had his ass handed to him last time.
I mean, I guess. But isn't the whole point? I mean, like, episodic wrestling TV is so stupid. I don't think it should exist.
Okay.
I mean, it helps me enormously in my job as a content creator yes. to analyze and preview these things. But my thing is, the model is kind of flawed. Maybe it wouldn't be if there was an off season, but the model is flawed for a million reasons. We talk about this quite, get quite deep on these podcasts mm-hmm. if you're a first time listener and you've somehow made it this far. One of which is, and it's so simple. Oh, hang on. That babyface looks pretty confident heading into the premium live event. What could happen? Basically, the guy got his ass kicked on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
You want that gravity to still remain in place. You still want to feel that. You still want to feel like Cody Rhodes. Well, he got his ass kicked. What condition is he going to be in? Obviously, he got bloodied the week prior. And in WWE, in the context of WWE, if you get your forehead flayed open, even though it's ultimately a superficial injury, you know, they said, like, oh, has he got a head injury? Has it been bandaged up?
Not been medically cleared yet.
Exactly. So you don't want him to come out and save someone or attempt to save one. With the idea being, all right, okay, well, he's going to be fine against The Rock. The whole point is you want that plight. You want that sense of distress. And, you know, it's on paper, it always sounds a little bit formulaic. And, you know, it is his turn to win, basically, if he's been battered the week, the TV show before. But he's so good at selling Cody Rhodes and firing up at the right moments that... Save that for Mania.
Okay.
I don't want to see a recovered Cody Rhodes get extract even a tiny measure of revenge, or even maybe attempt it, because he's already got his ass kicked once. You have to be careful with a babyface.
I can see where you're coming from. What would you do? Well, I think this is going to main event. I think it's going to be Jey versus Solo, and I think I'll admit that the SmackDown prior to WrestleMania's recently, in recent years, and particularly obviously the Raws after WrestleMania, have just been dreadful. I think this is the year, maybe this is more hope than expectation, but I think this is the year that they turn it around.
Well, Vince has gone.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they're going to do the thing of, you know, they've harkened back to the Attitude Era with, you know, Effin and Jeffin and the Blood and what have you, and The Rock's back, of course. I think...
and Jeffin.
I think they're going to have an element of that in terms of the fact of the end of the show to have people say, oh my God, Attitude Era is back, the Renaissance Era, whatever. I think they're going to have...
I can't spell Renaissance without a spell check.
Yeah, I know.
I just have to go like... I was about to go... because that's how my kids do it. R-E-N-E-S-S and then just wait for it to like the generative...
Yeah. Help me out again.
Yeah, come on. I hate it when like you're so useless at doing it, because I used to be a great speller, but then you just get lazy and the computer will do that for you. It's so soul destroying when you're like, I don't know how to spell it really. I'll just put some words together and you'll do the rest.
Yes.
And then it's so like rubbish, so moronic an attempt, such a dismal failure that it's like, brother, what do you do? I can't help you here. What the hell is even there? What is that? What are you trying to do to me? What we're talking about?
I think, yeah, Jey versus Solo. I think Jey has the match, not necessarily won, but he's setting up for a big finish. And then, of course, Jimmy either slides in or grabs his leg, distracts him, costs him that DQ, it all gets thrown out. And then you have the classic thing of, you know, that thing that everyone gets shared on the accounts, where it's like, do you remember the ending of this show? And it was like, so Kurt Angle comes in and he gets an angle slam on this person, yeah, and then he gets hit with a stunner and then he gets hit with a rock bottom and what have you. I think they're going to have that with like Jimmy gets involved and then Seth comes out, yeah, but oh, here comes, if you don't want to have Rock and Roman, for example, you could have here comes Drew, or here come, or you could have, if you really want to go all in, you could have Seth and Cody try and make the save. But Jey, Seth and Cody get laid out. I think the babyface will probably stand tall to close out this, yes, show. But if you want to do it this way, Seth, Cody and Jey get laid out. And it's like, the numbers disadvantage. They need two more people. Could that possibly be over WrestleMania weekend?
Yeah, this doesn't matter one bit, right? No. But I'm curious. Has The Rock ever talked about Jey and Jimmy? in terms of they've got their thing going on, and we're going to kick Jey Uso's ass.
I think you'd be lucky if he's given him more than a sentence.
It's weird because he's meant to be in the bloodline. The whole idea is, obviously, he's in storylines close with Roman Reigns and blah, blah, blah. He doesn't really care about his family.
No.
It's all very... it doesn't matter who gives a toss.
Yeah.
It's The Rock in... He's the one in God mode. It's greatness on a different level, to anything else in wrestling. It's just... he's too good for his own bloody good. I can't imagine the match quality is going to be very good. But again, in America, this is a luxury.
Oh.
I'll be in a good mood, I guess. This crowd will be really, really red hot and up for this.
We will be. I'm very excited.
How many is it going to be there?
I don't know. I'll have a look that
What's
up.
What's the capacity for Well? Is it...
Wells Fargo, I think you're right.
Wells Fargo?
Yeah. I'll double check that whilst you talk about... I suppose all these matches that we're going to run through. Zelina Vega, Electra Lopez, and New Catch Republic versus Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, they're all alluding to bigger Mania
again,
matches.
Again, this is one of my problems with the episodic TV model, is that it treats you, the viewer, more often than not, and this, honestly, AEW does this as well previously, in the storyline of Chris Jericho. They kind of treat you like you are a goddamn moron with not a brain in your head,
mm-hmm.
with a functioning memory. Oh, you know, this match is going to happen on Saturday or Sunday. Here's a sneak preview of it just to remind you that this match is happening.
Mm.
And it's like, it's just a complete waste of freaking time. They should just ban the go-home.
Mm.
Or at least do the go-home 2 weeks before. Because they always seem to peak. It's never... I don't know, I hate the idea of... What if it goes this chaotic at the weekend? You know what I mean? Who
yeah.
gets anything out of this?
Yeah.
There's no one gets anything out of it. It's fun for the people watching live to see the stars, be amongst a really red hot atmosphere. And I've been that miserable about things. But what does Zelina Vega versus
Electra Lopez
accomplish realistically? Because it's weird. Like, on these two, right? I'm probably the only miserable prick in Philadelphia at this moment in time. Genuinely, everyone's having a fantastic time outside. Electra Lopez wasn't very good in NXT, quite frankly.
She was very good when she was working for the family. Very good at her job. People don't forget.
Is she just a manager now? Because that's she's good in that role. She's got a star presence.
Yes.
In sort of a way of... Same as Zelina Vega... I don't need to see these two wrestle. They're better managers / valets.
I'm hoping that this is a clue to Carlito's inevitable turn. I think we're going to get, again, as with the New Catch Republic match that we're about to get onto as well, shenanigans, you know, Zelina and Electra, and then you've got, you know, Angel and Humberto, and then you've got, oh, here's Joaquin Wild and Cruz del Toro. Maybe Joaquin Wild are doing an awesome spot. I hope he does here. And then, obviously, you've got Ray and Dragon Lee and Santos and Dominic Mysterio, they're going to be the ones that are fighting really on weekend, but you sense that it's going to be Carlito who's the difference maker because he's had his nose put out of joint.
Yeah, it's one of my least favourite things of the preview of what's in store for us. And when you get say a multi-man match involving if there's a tag team four-way as an example, and it's two of the teams on a team with each other so that we make up the fight. I just hate it. It's just so crap. You know what I would like, just to speak philosophically, because who cares about this episode of SmackDown? I mean, they don't, evidently, so why should I? Philosophically, right, if this was 2 hours of prime targets for every single program on the show with their brilliance at the video package, even when this promotion fell, it was absolutely finished in 2019. They still had an peerless video and editing department. It goes for AEW as well. The countdown shows are exquisite. Me and Murray just watched the Eddie Kingston,
Mark Briscoe
hype vid, which was really good, really well put together, genuinely quite affecting. Basically telling the story and the motivations of each wrestler heading into it with this great use of collage and music and all of these sort of evocative things that every one of your senses just goes into. I would do that, and I know it's a pipe dream because live stuff gets more eyeballs and whatever. If you look at the ratings for the countdown shows, they're always piss poor.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that I would just much prefer it that way.
Yeah, I mean, they don't, you know, like you say, they don't need to sell WrestleMania anymore, but it does work.
They've done an unbelievable job of selling this show to their audience. I'm not necessarily that much a part of the audience, but it's done. The job's done.
I'll go a win for Zelina Vega.
I could not care less.
But do you want to take a guess?
It doesn't matter.
How many tickets have sold for tonight's SmackDown? Wells Fargo Center, you were right.
Right, it's one of those. Is it a hockey or a basketball? Or both?
I don't know.
You know what? 15
more. Oh, you're going to the Lick Your Ass Center tonight, aren't you? I forgot about that.
Sorry.
Oh, that's right. Just underneath on WrestleTick.
Comes full circle.
I'm going to go because 15 was this incredible. Like, the in excess of 15,000 was like this. It broke the 5-year record from 2019, obviously. That's not even impressive math. So 15 says, holy, for a TV show, that's the threshold, which obviously doesn't really get broken for 5 years. I'll go 14,112.
Okay, I've got good news and bad news. Bad news is right now it isn't a sellout, and there's still 700 tickets available. This was 7 hours ago for the SmackDown, and of course the Hall of Fame. The good news is tickets distributed, 17,000.
Jesus Christ.
17,000.
It is a red, red hot promotion.
And we've got New Catch Republic versus Austin Theory and Grayson Waller as well.
Yeah.
All the tag teams presumably involved in the big ladder match getting involved here.
What a waste of time. I'll be... Right. Here's... Who wins? Who cares? If you lose this match...
Yes.
You don't get penalised.
No.
You don't get removed from the match. No. You are still in it. If anything, right? If I'm in this match,
Just lay down.
So I don't want to risk getting injured. What if I get a leg injury and I can't climb the ladder?
I think this match is...
We'll take a dive.
It's going to be, filled with all the teams getting involved. But I think they're going to do something pretty funny. Because how do you win the titles on the weekend, Sidge?
You climb up the ladder and you retrieve from the carabiner. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
One set of title belts, or ideally both.
Mm-hmm. But what if all the teams are in there and it's like, oh, this is what it's going to look like on whenever it is, Saturday or Sunday.
I've got like a Wilborn alarm in my head.
Awesome Truth come down. R-Truth throws everyone over the top rope and celebrates. Because that's what he thinks that we need to do. If we do that at the weekend, we win. That's not you. That's the Rumble you're thinking of, Drew, you bloody idiot.
This has been a really fascinating experience, by the way.
It's just, honestly, man. I try and just no sell him. He's quite funny, isn't he?
Enjoy your holiday, Sidge. Is it a holiday? finally, we have the KO show featuring Randy Orton. And this is, I suppose, just sowing the seeds of the inevitable bit where Randy Orton and Kevin Owens both want to win the match against Logan Paul, but they can't decide who's doing it.
I do love the irony of Kevin Owens... And I understand the KO show kind of predates this character trait. Where I've made this point before, Kevin Owens hates WWE more than I do.
Yeah,
but that's his character. Yeah, tell him to touch grass. Tell him he's a shill.
When he's like, why are they re-showing that?
Yeah, it's like, why are they re-showing that? Like, why are you around the corner? Like, why are you here?
He's great, yeah.
But in a contrived and sudden way. So him doing that is kind of odd, but I don't care. Kevin Owens is one of those few people who I just... will watch in any situation who I think I just never feel like he's been geekified by the WWE system. He's just too great. This is a bit, I don't know, like after the highs of last year and how much graft Kevin Owens has put in the months since, because I thought the Kevin and Sammy stuff with the Judgment Day, as kind of repetitive as it was still like really hot. Feels like a bit of it. I don't know, I think he deserved a little bit more here.
Yeah, that's fair.
But Logan Paul's got to be in town, hasn't he?
One would assume that he's going to be. I mean, he obviously did the interference last week, cost them the match, then got caught out by them.
This feels like a way of building tension between them so that they each lose as opposed to Logan Paul wins.
Yeah, or Orton accidentally RKOs him, or he accidentally gets hit with a stunner,
But the thing is, like, Kevin Owens is like just an incredibly funny bloke. Kevin Owens is someone who's just so real that he can transcend this system. And Randy Orton's low-key got patter as well. That should just be like quite a funny thing, I think.
I have the idea of, I think you are going to sow the seeds yet of, oh no, I went to hit you, I went to hit Logan with this, but I've accidentally hit you, and are we really on the same page? Yeah. I'm going to kick this loser's ass, but who actually is going to leave as United States champion?
Yeah.
We probably should have that conversation.
One of them's going to have to turn heel, but I don't know.
Orton's had a haircut.
He has. If you look at like the Triple H regime, right, he's always had, rightfully so, because he's been over and just people love him. He's always had Kevin Owens as a babyface, hasn't he? Since 2022.
Pretty much.
When was the last time Kevin Owens... When did he turn? He's been a babyface forever.
Yeah.
Or what feels like forever, anyway. Triple H got heel Kevin Owens perfect in NXT. Maybe there's one last proper heel run in KO, especially as an opponent for Cody.
Yeah, that's a really good chat.
And you know what else? Wasn't it Kevin Owens to whom Cody Rhodes reached out and said in 2016, I'm leaving, I want to go on the indies, I'm completely lost, who should I speak to, where should I go?
Yeah.
And Kevin Owens was like, alright, okay, I'll basically give you like a broad history and whatever. And they could bring that up. Kevin Owens is a heel under Triple H. His heel runs have invariably failed because they were under that old arsehole.
Yeah.
But this one could genuinely go really well. Just a... I mean, I'm not going to preview a quiz... a talk show. So I'll go a little bit deeper and not talk about the talk show.
I think Logan Paul will interrupt and say, do you know, tomorrow and Sunday, you know, the ring is going to be covered in Prime because we are the sponsor of the ring now and they're going to have the bottle on the ring. But hey, who says that we can't do that on SmackDown tonight? And then he drops a big bucket of Prime onto
and that's
Kevin
your
Owens
stuff. And I don't get, you know.
And I will be whooping and hollering if that happens.
Hey!
Finally, Sage, I promised this earlier.
Oh, I've got a game.
And you've been good, so.
Oh, we haven't got the button. If you wondered, where are all those crazy noises? The soundboard is way too heavy for a suitcase.
Yes, and it's technical issues in another country and all that. So, boom, down to play the game.
Down to play the game. Down to play the game.
So I have. It is WrestleMania season. That
game.
Means anyone could show.
Useless.
We're in Philadelphia. We've seen extreme legends make appearances at lots of different shows. So
I'm not looking.
In the Andre, I've mentioned you've got your Andrades and your Ricochets and your Chad Gables and what have you. But what if they decide to throw a WWE legend in there as well? Not to win, but just to pop the fans. I have the WWE...
And you know what? That's form, because who... WrestleMania 32, Wilborn. Who did they bring in for this exact purpose in 2016?
Was it Tatanka?
It was Tatanka, yeah. What the hell? I was like, what? That was one of the most... What? He's still going. What? Wait, what's he doing here?
Well, he's right there, so he could be picked here. We are going to play, as we always do, Pro Evo rules. You have two skips, but then you are stuck with whoever you get on the third goal.
You ever play like that at uni, Andy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't really have two skips. We did best of 10.
Ah.
So you did random. You had 10 goals, and then as soon as it landed on one you wanted, you pick your team.
Smart.
You end up at Darlington, you're screwed.
We had a tournament.
Oh yeah,
but it was like an eight manor, like two shared houses. Like, you know what, we'll do this, and we all put a fiver in, and I made it to the final, and I think I ended up being, I can't remember, was it Saudi Arabia? Someone terrible, and they got classic Argentina.
Not just Argentina.
So I knew I was better with the same team.
Yeah,
I just knew it, but didn't win.
The World Culture Office football tournament.
Oh yeah,
that
was James Temple bringing home the World Cup.
That was a thing. so I have the WWE alumni.
The jewels remain still gleaming. He's in Iceland.
The alumni page open in front of me. You tell me when to stop, and then I'll give you how many people are on my screen. And obviously, if it's someone, it's the WWE alumni page. It's a mixed bag.
So stop.
Okay, but you've got between one and Andy can see it.
What a sack of
one and eight.
Right, okay, the good thing, well, the bad thing about this game is it dead or cancelled? Three.
IRS, so no. Do you want to pick a different one? Do you want an IRS? That's pretty good.
Yeah, he's going to the Hall of Fame. But no, I'm still twist.
Okay, right, okay. I'm
Just because, you know, he's a bit older these
days.
Yes. What a younger legend. Stop.
Okay.
Oh, there's some cancellations in there, boy.
Well, 1-8.
This is the game we play.
This is it.
Tangled web we weave.
1-8.
6.
Okay. I'm going to give you another spin. Not because of any issues in terms of this person being cancelled. He's awesome. We're huge fans of his. But I don't think Samoa Joe is going to show
no,
up.
No.
So pick the number, different number between 1 and 8.
4.
I don't know.
Okay, let's just do a different number.
We can't play this game.
Look, this guy is far too closely associated with British wrestling
yeah.
to be
here. All right, okay. Oh, Jesus Christ.
1-8.
2.
Sable.
Twist.
Okay. This is it now. It was all on this. I am scrolling through. I'm going back up now. Oof. Tell me when to stop. When
stop, I... brother.
Okay. 1-8.
What's the... So what's the vibe on this row?
That's pretty strong, this line, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty clean. Pretty clean.
7.
Yeah, it has to take it, doesn't it?
He has to take it.
I've been through my twist.
Okay, so picture the scene, right? They're in the ring. They're in the ring. There's your Chad Gables, your Bronson Reeds, your Andrades, etc.
Uh-huh.
And they go, oh, by the way, there's one more entrant. And all the lights shut out in the arena. The crowd can't believe it. It all goes incredibly quiet. And then you hear... Lana's in the Andre the Giant. And do you know what? If she's in it, we're picking her to win it.
Yeah, indeed. That tune is such a goddamn bop.
It would be an absolute banger. Let us know your thoughts ahead of the WrestleMania SmackDown. Either in the comment section below or on X at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. And check out What Culture Wrestling for a whole host of videos across WrestleMania weekend over the coming days. But for now, it's been this quite
grafted.
Oh, yeah. And Dave, if you see us out and about, come and meet us. And best of luck if you're trying to get tickets to It's Always in It What Culture, because I think there was one left. But we'll see you all on Sunday for that one. But for now, this has been the SmackDown preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.